Hear again the word of the Lord for this second Sunday in the Epiphany season. All of you, praise the Lord. I will cause to give thanks to the Lord in all my heart, in a company of upright men, and in an assembly. Thus far our text. Those among us who were present in one of the Lord's services on Sunday, December 19, 2021, Advent 4, heard a sermon drawn from the 111th Psalm, today's Psalm. It's the same Psalm appointed. That day we chanted the Psalm, the antiphon, which means literally against voice. That's the verse that comes before and after the Psalm. And here, I spoke it, and then I was, our deacon candidate did the rest of the Psalm, and then I spoke that. It placed the emphasis this day on the ninth verse. And it can be translated like this, and was in December. Redemption he sent to his people. He has commanded into eternity his covenant. Holy and terrible is his name. Now, 4 weeks have passed since many of you have heard a sermon centered by that chanted verse. In that time, you have heard of the incarnation of God's promised Redeemer, the one whom God sent to save his people. You have heard of him shedding his blood to be placed under the law in order to keep it perfectly for you. You have heard of his being baptized to be your sin bearer. You have heard of his dying in your sins and rising to new life to declare you right with God and to grant you blessed eternal life now and forever. A lot has been heard of Jesus since the Love Sunday of Advent. In fact, most of these sermons proclaim a lot of Holy Scripture, all of which the Holy Spirit uses to lead you to Jesus. As those proclamations began in earnest in Advent, the last calendar year was nearing its end. Then you were reminded that the 111th Psalm revealed that God's wisdom is more beautiful and precious than anything we have ever seen or can imagine. You heard that Sunday was, long ago, chosen by God's church to be a gift from God for us in which to specifically remember God's love for us sinners. Well, that remains true today. The readings and proclamations of the Word of God and from the Word of God in Christmas built upon those truths. Those of the Epiphany have continued to reinforce them. So we could stop here with that recap of how the 111th Psalm was proclaimed in Advent. You, with us who serve Christ to you, all have perfect and photographic memories concerning all that we see and hear in the Lord's services to us, right? So we have no need for any more explanation of today's Psalm. Am I correct? No, I'm wrong on the last couple of counts. We aren't perfect hearers of the Word. We aren't even perfect responders to the Word, even when we read it from text before our own eyes. So out of God's grace and mercy for us who are not perfect in hearing, reading, and living his word, he causes it to be repeated. This he offers to us through a regular and dependable pattern in his divine services to us. Year in and year out, the Sunday readings provide a rhythm for the church year. As part of that, this festival half of the year gives us a lot of word concerning the life of Christ and him incarnate. It reveals him to be our Redeemer. To that end, to help us in our hearing the word again, we spoke the Psalms verses today instead of chanting them. We did so today, for that form of Bible recitation fits in neatly with today's order of service, Divine Service Setting 4. We heard the Psalm connected today to readings also that declare God's ancient promise to raise up the dwelling place of the king called David, one where his people may drink sweet wine. We heard the psalm connect the word of, to the wedding guests of long ago who had reason to give thanks to God in Christ Jesus. We heard in today's call to praise the Lord that it was connected to his giving his gifts to his people in congregations into which he gathers them. Those connections haven't been reviewed. You who thought as we recited the psalm that, man, that sounds familiar. Well, you now have received the reason why. Psalm 111's repetition has come 1 month following its first hearing in this church year. Today it is connected to the appearances, the epiphanies, of the one who advented in our flesh, that is, Jesus the Christ. With all of that in mind, here again, today's theme verse. All of you praise the Lord. I will cause to give thanks to the Lord in all my heart, in a company of upright men, and in an assembly. The Psalm of the Day begins by calling for all of you to give praise to the great I Am, the Lord, the living God. It stands in Scripture as the first of three psalms that open with the word we translate, Hallelujah. The Praise the Lord, Hallelujah psalms are given to provide the believer with words that God accepts as a sweet-smelling offering. From today's opening Hallelujah, you have received further revelation that God-pleasing biblical sacrifice of praise is to be offered in an assembly of upright ones. That indicates that the psalm is to be publicly proclaimed, recited, chanted, or sung in a congregation of those who have been declared right with God. To that end, God has kept congregations like this open in these trying times. In addition, he has provided us with good ways, in timely manners, for his word to get to believers whose health needs cause them to be physically separated from larger gatherings of the faithful. Such electronic means as these are God's gifts to us. We have made use of them so that those who are still apart from us may still hear the word. Through these means, we pray that they may remain in a way connected to Christ's body. That is, until they can be freed again to join together physically with us and receive his gifts again with their brothers and sisters, you. Here again, today's theme verse, call out to you. All of you, praise the Lord. I will cause to give thanks to the Lord in all my heart, in a company of upright men and in an assembly. Today's psalm gives you who bear God's name words that are acceptable to God. It does this after it moves from a general call to praise the Lord. Then it declares how, and it even gives reasons why, an individual believer might offer right praise in a manner that is acceptable to God. You have heard now 4 times in 2 different translations this day the call to praise God. Following that, the next word of the psalm in the Hebrew language, one word, provides words in the English language which the believer is called to recite. I will cause to give thanks. It takes 6 words in English to translate 1 Hebrew word. You, as part of this congregation, are among God's thankful ones. You are, on account of today, God's holy baptism of you, numbered among those through whom God's light from his word shines in our time. You are the bright ones in this age of the church, even if you think you're a dim bulb. As God's brilliance flows out, you come to hear the word. That good practice will enable God's brilliance to both shine into and out of you. That means that the light of the word this day is reminding you that you are numbered among the faithful who are called by Scripture to say, I will give thanks to the Lord in the congregation. Among those who are declared upright by God. That thanksgiving stands, as some of you heard quite a few years ago, as the first of 22 lines of this psalm's Hebrew language acrostic construction. Did you write that down? That means that each line of today's psalm begins with a succeeding letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, ABC. Okay? You are interested in seeing how the psalm appears to have been originally formatted in English, of course, but with the Hebrew letter in front of each line. You can see it in the end notes of the sermon once it gets posted online. That having been heard, today's psalm continues. Great are the works of the Lord, being studied by all the ones having pleasure in them. Today we have again heard of God's great works. Think of today's readings and hymns. In them we hear that the promise to restore the fortunes of God's people is fulfilled in his giving them, and now us, his Son. The promise to send the word to heal and prevent the destruction of God's people, he has fulfilled in Christ Jesus. God's promises to give his gifts, he continues to fulfill as his word joins people with various gifts into congregations where they will be used for the benefit of all who are gathered and all who may come to them whenever they have need. God's promise to provide the new wine of the gospel began to be revealed when Jesus turned water for ritual washing into the best of wines. Of these we have heard today, and in these we are free to take pleasure. Our day's psalm continues. Majesty and honor is his work, and his righteousness is enduring into forever. In the person of Jesus, the Lord of creation entered bodily into his creation. As he did so, he brought blessings with him. Among those we hear of today is his blessing marriage, through his miracle at the wedding at Cana, which is an ancient traditional text for Epiphany. God in Christ, who long before his incarnation blessed human marriage union, that which he established through his word, beginning with the first man and woman in the garden. Through the church's tying the 111th Psalm to the narrative of the miracle at Cana, the church has, for many generations, until ancient and modern perversions of the truth crept in, declared that the marriage of one man and one woman for a lifetime is one of God's great works. Out of that, this Epiphany season, we have heard another reason for rejoicing, namely, that Jesus so honored and celebrated the marriage between one man and one woman that he gave them the gift of the finest wine. Just so, he has hallowed his marriage to his bride, the church, by gifting her the finest wine. For in, with, and under whatever earthly vintage may be chosen to be the element to convey God's means of grace at a given altar table, in a rightly confessing congregation, Jesus gives his own life-giving, sin-cleansing blood. He established through simple means, bread, wine, his word, his eternal new covenant. Concerning that, words give us reason to praise the Lord from our psalm continue. A memorial he made to his wonderful works. Gracious and merciful is the Lord. Think about how each section of the words of institution end. With what word does Jesus seal the enduring practice of celebrating the sacrament of the altar? I mean, after all, you do recite the words with the celebrating pastor each time they're spoken, right? I know the little ones do because they get the chant real quick. Okay? Jesus says, after consecrating, that is, set aside for holy use, bread and wine, in remembrance of me. Here, dear redeemed of the Lord, every time God's word is combined with the elements he chose in the presence of his people with a man whom he has rightly and rightly, two different spellings, called to be a steward of his mysteries, Jesus gives us his gifts through another Memorial Day. In that, he gives his real presence as he touches all who commune. This he does as well as he gives forgiveness and strength into life everlasting to those who believe in these words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Our psalm declares from that remembrance of the sacrament of the altar, food he provides for those fearing him. He is mindful into forever of his covenant. Well, that was repetitive. In the sacrament of the altar, God gives his food of eternal life. In his sacrament of the altar, he remembers his eternal covenant. So again, in Epiphany now, we have reason to understand why the New Testament church has held, at least since the time of Saints Theodoret and Augustine, so that's 4th and 5th centuries, that the memorial of which our psalm speaks is the sacrament of the altar. Our psalm declares, thus his works he has caused to show to his people, to gift to them the inheritance of the nation. Are you hearing the direction the psalm is leading you into? Do you hear it reminding you that God gives you true reasons to gather together, to give him thanks and praise? Look about you. In the past, we've had a couple of members who could trace their family lineage through Jewish mothers. Yet most of us were born of non-Jewish moms, Gentiles. We then are the inheritance of the nations. We are the ones who continue to receive the benefits of his mighty works. Our psalm continues. The works of his hands are faithful and just. Being trustworthy are all his precepts. Just as the wonders God worked of old were for the benefit of his ancient people, so too are his works today for the benefit of his current people. He has fashioned you from the flesh. He has refashioned you through the touch of his word as he continues to do that which you might truly understand, that you who are baptized and believe actually bear the image of God, that is, in true communion with him and with each other. The psalm goes on. His precepts are being established forever into eternity. They are being done in faithfulness and uprightness. Those phrases show God's trueness to his word, all of it. The psalm declares that which God means to work through his means of grace lasts forever. It proclaims that his work of creating for himself a repentant people out of those born dead in trespasses and sin is how he shows his faithfulness and his uprightness in every generation. From that, the psalm continues. Redemption he sent to his people. He has commanded into eternity his covenant. Holy and terrible is his name. Those words declare the Christ who is our redemption and our life. Jesus alone has paid the price to rescue you from sin, death, and hell. He has given you, his repentant people, the blood of his new covenant. And the psalm ends as it proclaims, "The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Good understanding comes to all who are doing it. His praise endures forever." Those words declare the wisdom of God that is summed up in Christ Jesus. They remind us that we cannot stand in the presence of the Holy One without being declared holy. That knowledge works holy and reverent fear in us who contemplate that which God continues to do for us. In Christ, we are actually free to comprehend and then apprehend God's will for our lives. And from that flows today's praise that proceeds from your lives of repentance. Please stand as you're able. The peace which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.